talk with us concerning some lessons that we can learn from Moses' struggles. Moses being the man, of course, that God selected to go back into Egypt and to lead his people out of captivity. But Moses wrestled with God's call. Looking in Exodus chapter 3, the verses are 7 through 12 for reading purposes tonight. We won't read all of those verses, but I would like for operator just to stop at verse 10, and just a little bit we'll be there. Moses in chapter 3, as we all are familiar, I'm sure, had what I call the burning bush experience. Moses was out tending his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert, the Bible says, and he noticed this bush that was burning, and it was not being consumed or was not being burned up. And an angel, the Bible says, appeared to him out of that burning bush and said to him to take off his shoes for the ground. Of course, first he told him, don't come near, but take off your shoes for the ground you're standing on is holy ground. And God began to talk to Moses out of that burning bush. And he said this in verse number 10. If we have Exodus 3, verse number 10. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is God talking to Moses. So God calls Moses and says, I'm going to assign a task to you. And your task is going to be go back into Egypt. You remember that he had fled Egypt many years before. Go back into Egypt and say to Pharaoh to let my people come out of Egyptian bondage. Well, Moses, again, he began to struggle with what God wanted him to do. And there are several things that he says in chapter 3, as well as some that he says in chapter 4, that I want us to consider tonight. The first thing he says, when God says this to him, in verse number 11, Moses says this unto God. He says, who am I, Lord, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? The first struggle, or the first problem we see Moses having, is that he has a struggle or a problem with himself. And that is, he lacked confidence in himself. But of course, as God would continue to deal with him, he will show him that it's really, you don't have to worry about yourself because I'm going to be with you. But he lacked confidence, first of all, in himself. He felt inadequate for the task that was being given to him. But God assured him, as I've said, that he would be with him. Verse number 12, he says this. And he said, certainly, you don't have to worry about it. Certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God. Drop it on down if we got another one. And Moses said unto God, Okay, maybe that's all we have there. But anyway, this is what he says. He says, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. You don't have to worry about your inadequacy. I'm going to be with you. He says, you will go forth and you will serve God in this, or up on this mountain. He was near the Mount of Horeb. Do we know anything else about the Mount of Horeb? That's where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And this is where he had the burning bush experience. Out at the back of the desert, he sees this bush that was not being consumed. And he says that you're going to bring my people out, and you're going to bring them right back here, and you're going to serve me in this mountain. So he assures then Moses that he's going to be with him. What's the lesson that we can learn from that struggle that Moses had? Don't ever feel that you or we are inadequate to do what God has assigned to us to do. So oftentimes, that's the case with many of people. They feel like they are inadequate because they have the same feeling, I guess, that Moses has. Moses was looking at himself. He wouldn't have been able to do it himself. In order to do that task, God would have had to be with him. So, on our own, we are nothing. But with God, we are everything. So we should never feel inadequate to do what God has taught us or instructed us to do from his book, the Bible. Sometimes we say things like this, that I'm not capable, I'm not able to even forgive somebody. God instructs us to forgive those that sin against us, doesn't he? But the reason why we can't do it, if we can't do it, is because we depend on us, on ourselves. We need to allow God to give us the strength and the courage to do what he tells us to do. Christ, even when he gave the Great Commission, and all of us should be working under the Great Commission. That's our job. That's our task. Christ assured the apostles in Matthew 28 and verse number 20, after giving them their assignment, God has given Moses now his assignment. And we need to be about the business of helping to bring people out of bondage. Moses was to bring people out of their physical bondage. We need to be about the business of helping people come out of spiritual bondage. And so the apostles were assigned that task. And Jesus said to them in Matthew 28 and verse 20, lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world or the end of the age. They could have done it on their own, but Jesus says, I'm going to be with you. We need to then look to Jesus to be with us, look to God to be with us. Because after all, he would not ask us to do something that we couldn't do. He didn't ask Moses to do something he couldn't do. The task that he assigned to Moses, he knew that Moses could do it, but he would have to depend on him. That's why, again, he says, I'll be with you. I realize that you are nobody yourself. As he says, who am I? You're nobody yourself, but with me, as the Bible says, with God, all things are what? Possible. So when God is on our side, as the Roman writer says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, we know the story of Moses going down, that we won't get too much in that story tonight, but we know the story of his going down now, that Pharaoh tried his best to be against Moses in every turn. But eventually, he had to let him go because God was working in the plan. And when God is working in the plan, we can accomplish what God has set out for us to do. You know what Paul told Timothy to tell those Christians in Ephesus? Or rather, he was telling this personally to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But you know there is somebody else lurking out around the bush, if you will, that will instill and will place all kind of fear in us if we accept it. And that's the devil himself. Because he knows that if we are afraid and we let that fear conquer us, we'll not do what God has instructed us to do. But it's not God's fault. It's our fault because we don't depend on God. Joshua, when he was given the task to continue the succession of leading God's people after Moses had died, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says this, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." Joshua, let me drop down one. "Have I not commanded thee," Joshua 1 and verse 9, "have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And that's what God wanted Moses to know. That I'm going to be with you. Certainly, he says, without a doubt, I'm going to be with you. God will be with us when we do his will. The key then to self-confidence, that is having self-confidence, is having faith in God. No, we don't put a faith in ourselves, but we put it in God, that God will instill and God will give us the courage and give us the confidence. When Paul was on his way to Rome, on that boat with 276 souls, and the great storm came along the way, and of course Paul tried to get them not to launch out from a place that they had stopped, but they launched out anyway, and the storm came along, and the ship or the boat was about to be torn up. And Paul said this in Acts chapter 27, beginning at verse number 21. He said this, "But after long," and the Bible says this, "and after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this hurt." Drop it on down to the next one, if you will. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." And the next verse says this, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." Verse 24 says, "Saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that shall sail with thee." And look at what verse 25 says. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." You know why those other fellows on the boat, and as the reading continues, they were ready to jump off the boat? Because they didn't believe God. They didn't have any confidence. But Paul says, "I got confidence because God has told me that nothing is going to happen to us as far as losing our lives. The boat is going to be torn up. But God has said, be of good cheer. I believe God. I have confidence." And when we believe God, we can have the confidence to do whatever he tells us to do that we find written in his word. Again, the reason why many times we fall short is because we don't believe God. We know God says it, but we don't truly believe in it. And when I say believe it, I don't mean believe that he said it, but we don't trust. We don't trust what he says. Because again, we feel like that we're out there on our own. We need to believe God, and we'll have some confidence. So Moses, the first problem and the first struggle he had, he lacked confidence in himself. But God says, "I'll give you all the confidence you need because I'm going to be with you." But then when we drop down to chapter 4 of Exodus and verse number 1, notice what it said. And Moses answered and said, God is still talking to him. But Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. You notice what else Moses lacked at this point in time besides lacking confidence in himself? He lacked confidence in the people. And so oftentimes we find ourselves, no doubt, falling into that category. We don't have confidence in the people. We begin to speak for the people in saying that the people won't do this or the people won't do that. How do we know the people won't do this or won't do that? Let them speak for themselves. God didn't ask Moses for his evaluation or his opinion. He didn't say, what do you think, Moses, if I send you back there and tell them, do you really think that they'll believe you, Moses? No, he didn't say that. God says, I want you to go back. But Moses immediately says, the people are not going to believe me. They're not going to believe that you sent me. Don't ever underestimate people. Remember again that it's God, when it comes to saving souls and doing the work of the Lord, it's God that gives the increase. It's not people. We just do what God says, and God will give the increase. Remember what Paul said again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Sometimes people just need encouragement and the will to do. You remember Nehemiah's experience when he went back to Jerusalem to rebuild that wall? The people were already back there. They knew that the walls had fallen down, don't you think? But they hadn't done anything about it. But when Nehemiah went back there, listen to what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. He says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Again, don't you think the people already knew that? They knew what those walls were looking like. But they didn't have the determination, if you will, to get out there and do something about it. It took a man coming back from where he was down in captivity, coming back to get them stirred up to do what they should have been doing all along, restoring that city. Then verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's word that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Again, wonder why they hadn't done that before. They needed somebody to really encourage them. All of them apparently didn't have confidence in themselves, or maybe they were afraid. But whatever the reason was, they knew that the city was lying in waste. The walls were broken down. But it took Nehemiah to come back and give them the confidence and give them the courage to do what they should have been doing all along. Sometimes that's what people need. They need somebody to come along beside them and say, you can do it. They need someone to come along beside them and say, this is what you ought to be doing. When they get that courage and that confidence, they'll say just like these people says, let us rise up and build. So again, if Nehemiah had come back to the city and saw the walls were all lying waste there, he could have easily said, these people are back here, they're doing nothing. So I guess it can't be done. But Nehemiah said that the Lord had been good to him. Notice again, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me. You see, God was working in the plan for him to come back. He went to the king, not knowing whether the king would allow him to come. But because God worked in the heart of the king. King wasn't even one of God's folks. But he worked in the heart of the king and allowed Nehemiah to come back. So when he told that to the people, the Bible says they strengthened their hands for the work. Again, don't ever underestimate people. Sometimes we'll say, well, I'll teach such and such a one the gospel, but they ain't going to obey. How we know if we never try? How we know? At least we need to give everybody a chance. We're not the judge. Give them a chance. And who knows how many we can influence. Oftentimes we miss people who will obey because we are looking for the field that we think is ready for the harvest. Sometimes we'll put off to later. We'll put a goal way down yonder. But Jesus said it like this in John 4 and verse 35. Don't say 3 months or 4 months and then come the harvest. He said, lift up your eyes and see. The fields are already white unto harvest. Somebody out there somewhere will obey the gospel if we can just get to them. Somebody out there would perhaps be a better Christian if we can get to them. But if we underestimate them, don't have confidence in them, then we may turn and go another way. God uses us to help people. Let God use us. Never lack confidence in the people. So Moses lacked confidence in himself, and he lacked confidence in the people. But then as we look further in Exodus chapter 4, look at verse number 10. God is still talking to Moses, still dealing with Moses. And Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I wasn't before now, and since you spoke to me, I'm not eloquent. But I am slow of speech, and I'm slow of tongue. I can't talk clearly. Sort of remind us of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul said on one occasion, I believe to the Corinthian church that he was writing to, I believe, if I'm remembering serving me correctly, he said, they say that my speech is contemptible. I can't talk plainly. And this is what Moses, this is the problem that Moses was struggling with. He struggled with his speech. But then God didn't allow him to get away with that. You notice what he says in verse number 11? And the Lord said unto him, who has made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb? Or the deaf? Or the seeing? Or the blind? Have I not I the Lord? In other words, what God was saying to Moses, don't you know that you already got this speech? Don't you know I know that you got this speech problem? You don't have to inform me that I got a speech problem. I already know it. But yet God said to him, I want you to go. So Moses then, he lacks confidence in himself, he lacks confidence in the people, and then he lacks confidence in his speech. Well, I wonder, being eloquent in speech, is that a requirement to do what God say? I don't believe that's a requirement. Just be willing to say what God say. You know, I remember an eloquent man who said the wrong thing, or at least not enough of the right things. In Acts chapter 18, y'all remember Apollos? The Bible says he was eloquent in speech, but yet he was not teaching the full gospel message. Bible says he knew only the baptism of John. So he was not teaching the complete message, though he was an eloquent speaker. So being eloquent in speech has nothing to do with it. Just say what the Lord wants us to say. In other words, we don't have to come up with the words. We already got the words. You know what Peter was inspired to say in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11? If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. So we don't have to go searching for words to say. Just say what the book says. Say what the book says. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. And brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. So God will tell us what to say, and he's told us what to say in the book, the Bible. So just share the gospel truth. Just share the encouragement and exhortation that we get from God's word to encourage someone to be a better person, to be a stronger Christian. Just use God's word, the Bible, to do that. Even though we may not be eloquent in speech. So Moses struggled with himself, having self-confidence. Struggle with having confidence in the people. Struggle with having confidence in his speech. But one thing we can say about Moses is that because he was a meek man, he was convinced that he was God's man for the job. If you go back to Exodus and you read there and you see how God said to him that I want you to throw your rod down, and he threw it down and it became a serpent. I want you to put your hand in your bosom, and it came back leprous, and he put it back out and it came back white as snow. And several other things God did to convince him that he was going to be with him, to convince him that the people would believe him, and to convince him that he was the man for the job. So he was a meek man, and he allowed God to use him. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 12 and verse number 3 that he was the meekest man in all the earth. That means he was humble. If he had not been an humble man, even though he had a problem with the people, had a problem with himself, had a problem with his speech, if he had not been an humble man, he never would have succumbed to what God wanted him to do. But because he was a normal man, he would say, no doubt in his own mind, though the Bible doesn't say these terms, but no doubt in his own mind, he would say like Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go back and tell Pharaoh to let your people go. And that's what it takes, again, for us to do the will of God. We have to be humble. Even though we look at ourselves and we think that we can't do it, if we are humble, we'll say, Lord, use me. I'll do what you tell me to do. So in Exodus chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, after God got through dealing with Moses and conversing with Moses, the Bible says, and Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said unto him, let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass and returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the rest we know as history. That Moses worked with Pharaoh as God is working through him with all of those plagues. Pharaoh eventually lets the people go. And Moses leads them out. Gets to the Red Sea, and we know how the people were all excited. But Moses said this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, what a beautiful man Moses is when he submits to doing the will of God. That's what we need to do. When we do God's will, we can see God working in our lives and even in the lives of other people that would allow God to work in their lives. So God then, as I conclude tonight, will use us to do great things in his kingdom if we manifest the same type of spirit that Moses manifested. That is humility and letting God use us. No wonder Paul said to the Philippian church, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he talked about him counting it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and humbled himself and was found in the fashion of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the death of the cross. And so we can do much then when God is in us. Y'all remember that song sometime that we hadn't sung it in a long, long time now? Little is much when God is in it. So God can take the little that we think we have and he can multiply it when we allow him to work in our lives. So Moses may have been slow of speech. He may have not been eloquent. But God took what Moses had and he worked with him. As a matter of fact, he told him to go call your brother. I'm going to put my words in him. He'll do the speaking for you. Sometimes we need to let somebody else speak for us. Sometimes we may even have a problem with that. If I can't do it, nobody else will. It takes humility to let somebody else speak for us when they're speaking the will of God. So as I close tonight, if we have anyone present tonight and maybe are experiencing some of the same struggles that Moses experienced, God is asking us to obey his will and to do his will and to live out our faith in the midst of a criticizing world. If we're having some struggles like Moses had, I say to us, just humble ourselves and let God work with us. And God will work with us, and he'll only work with us if we allow him to work with us. That's what happened to Moses. Moses finally humbled himself and allowed God to work with him. As a result of that, he was able to do what God wanted him to do. If you're here tonight and maybe you haven't obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to do that. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your past sins. Make the good confession that you do believe that Jesus is the Christ. Be buried in the water, a grave of baptism for the remission of sins. And let the Lord add you to his church. Become a member of his church and then work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling by putting your trust in God and allow him to give you the courage to live a faithful life in his sight. So if you need to come tonight, if you have not been baptized, not been added to the church, but if you're walking contrary to the will of God, we hope that you'll turn away from it if you need to confess. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, we beg you to come. Come right now while we stand, while we sing.
O sent us Savior, O